Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
Residents of Chicago and Northwest Indiana are up in arms. John Cass, Scourge of Chicago. He and his ilk are poisoning listeners' minds. Can we let this go unchallenged?
Make sure we get the tips.
Is this the man you want seeding your cerebral cortex with his vile thoughts?
Rob, inside the cavity.
That is just perverse.
See where I'm going here?
Oh, we see. And we are disgusted, you sick man.
Push this through.
John Cass, a man who references immature, outdated MTV cartoon chumps.
It's the intellectual version of the Beavis and Butthead argument, the hot girls and the binders.
Really, John? Beavis and Butthead? Really? What does that even mean?
It's a tripod. You don't want them touching.
And just what is a chumbalone?
What do you think?
Can we trust a man who likes to paraphrase made men?
Are we done here?
Isn't it true that John Cass is the real chumbalone?
Your mind can only hold so many facts, okay?
This message brought to you by People for Awake with Jake.
I'm Jake Hartford, and I encourage this message.
He encouraged the message, and Jeff Carlin helped him produce this message.
Yes, with the great Jason Dildine doing the voice there and the production. I forgot Jake had the stinger at the end there with the out.
But what about being a chumbalone? Okay, the issue is we've had Darren Bailey repeats the phrase chumbalone.
Chumbalone.
And then we have this blast from the past. Jake Hartford and Jeff Carlin pushing the chumbalone on the people.
Yeah, that was a good one. That's the one thing I can say. I think everybody universally can vote for and agree on that. Come the day after Election Day, the end of the political ads and the no more flyers coming to your door, because I know we get inundated with them. But yes, that was a blast from the past, the old Jake Hartford days. There's the binders full of women clip. Remember that was the old Mitt Romney gaffe.
Yeah.
So I think that dates
back then
this.
When Mitt Romney was a fascist rather than a milquetoast reek from Game of Thrones. He was then the fascist enemy of the people.
Right.
Whatever exactly they were saying then. Right. Can you imagine that? People thinking Mitt Romney was like dangerous, but okay, we're at that phase now with just days before the election and hours, and people are afraid. Some are happy, some are afraid, some are expectant. You know, that they think that Republicans will win and they therefore have achieved something. And the same thing with Democrats. The Democrats, if they lose, Democratic voters will think that they've lost something. But in the meantime, there was a historian, total moron and clown, Beschloss.
Michael Beschloss.
Michael Beschloss, who was on, I don't know, one of those left-wing programs.
MSNBC's Chris Hayes show or whatever it is.
Yeah, Chris Hayes show. And Chris Hayes is the son-in-law of of Andy Shaw, who never wanted to offend Rich Daley ever, right? And they're talking about the terrors of a Republican victory in the midterm.
Joe Biden is saying the same thing tonight. And a historian 50 years from now, if historians are allowed to write in this country, and if there are still free publishing houses and a free press, which I'm not certain of, but if that is true, a historian will say what was at stake tonight and this week was the fact whether we will be a democracy in the future, whether our children will be arrested and conceivably killed. We're on the edge of a brutal authoritarian system, and it could be a week away.
That talk about a clown show. I mean, geez, it's irresponsible. I just full stop. It's irresponsible as a quote unquote professional historian or acclaimed historian. Not.
The true historians don't show up on cable news.
No, okay? Right.
They're always hidden away in libraries. They don't like to be, don't call attention. I don't want to be on TV. You know, that's a true historian.
John, stop clicking your pen.
Oh, sorry. I am clicking it because I'm so aggravated. But I know, right? The thing that really got me was the belief by this so-called historian that democracy is at stake. Parroting the Democratic line.
Right.
And they all parroted it. You know, every show after show after show said the same thing. But if, in other words, if the Democrats win, democracy will be saved. But if the Democrats lose, democracy is destroyed and the children will be dragged out of their homes by an authoritarian ruler.
Yeah, Jeff, I don't know. I mean,
isn't, you know, The Intercept just had a fascinating piece on big tech colluding with political parties, and they weren't Republicans, to right. shape the news and shape the images that people understand.
Yeah.
Shaping, it's what do they call it? It's, cultivating the landscape, you know, the landscape of ideas. And I'm thinking at the same time, this is coming out, and The Intercept is by no means a right wing publication. Yeah. It's an interesting publication. It was home to some several important free thinkers, but not a right wing hit piece by any chance.
Yeah.
And now this from Beschloss.
That's incredible. I mean, that Intercept thing is incredible. The audacity of you know, politicians and media companies to do that is so dangerous. And it's this, I mean, I remember we used to have, there used to be standards in media, well, you know, broadcast media, so radio and TV, and to a technically lesser extent, you know, movie theaters technically aren't under any sort of like official rating system, right? That's all voluntary. But to be broadcast, there were things you couldn't do. You could be held responsible, liably and criminally, for breaking the rules on that stuff. And this would be an instance of that. This would be something that would not clear any censorship. And I know people say, "Oh, censorship is terrible," but it's censorship in the sense that it's used in a sparingly sense, so you avoid things like this. Someone would want to run afoul of the rules, so you wouldn't put someone on who would say inflammatory, insane things like this. But the fact that you have Democrats, you know, working hand in hand with their friends, quote unquote, in media to, as you say, alter the landscape. Right. And that's the whole point. That's the reason why those rules are in place, to avoid a tip in the scale one way or the other. And I think, and this is one of the things I think, and people are like, "Oh, internet should be open and free. Internet should be open and free." Maybe, but it should also be, there also needs to be a place where people can know what they're getting is passing a smell test. I mean, you can't get that anywhere on either side. I mean, like, it's just the point that the Intercept is running this piece. I mean, like, that's just the point that to them, you wouldn't even think about them, but at least you see it from them. You know what they are, their history is what they do. But it's places like MSNBC, you know, just openly throwing something on there says, "Oh, grab your shoelaces. It's going to be the purge and the whole world's going to end right now." And they're supposed to be an official, not official, but a reasonable thought, you know, thinker out right. there. They're supposed to bring us together.
They reveal themselves, right?
Right.
Just like those who say, "You better not, you shall not think to yourself or let anyone else think or say that no cash bail." Mm-hmm. is anything but a wonderful idea.
Right.
And even though 100 of 102 state's attorneys, both Democrat and Republican, are opposed, in Illinois. People are getting killed. People are being attacked. How many times do we have to see in CWB, which is covering the Tim Evans courts, right? Tony Preckwinkle, Tim Evans courts, where it's all happening every day, but you can't say it. You can't say this is the 75th case this year of someone being killed by someone else who's been on bail, out on bond, or reduced bond, or electronic monitoring for violence.
Right. And then you say that, and then they say, well, but the violence is going up all around the city, and there are Republican run places where it's
happening. How dare you?
And then there's that line. And it's so just, it's deplorable. I mean, we want to talk deplorables, and it goes both ways too. I mean, obviously in ads, we opened up with the mocking ad of how scary they are. And obviously, you know, people, groups on both sides, Democrats and Republicans, you know, they put in hyperbole and try to scare people voting one way or another. But everybody is just needs to chill. Can we all just be nice?
Can you just sit? The ancient Japanese proverb, sit calmly on a riverbank and eventually the bodies of your enemies will float past. In other words, just chill, okay?
Right.
Don't freak out, Beschloss. Cowboy up, man. You know, I can't believe, I'd like to see a Yellowstone, like Yellowstone, you know, the show's coming back and Betty's all excited about it. With that hot evil woman, what's her name, the Britannia Queen. She's really an Irish actress, and she's really good. She's an evil heroine. And I can see Beschloss, like, out there, like, trying to do some dude ranch thing out in in Yellowstone. She'd kill him, you know? She'd be dragging his hair, pulling his hair across the steps and killing him, you know, something.
Right.
Don't mess with Beth, you know?
And John, I think you alluded to it last time, but in talking about shows we're watching, you're over the House of the Dragon. They didn't do it for you.
I don't really like House of the Dragon. I don't like fantasy stuff anymore. You know,
get over it.
I had a friend, one of my guys who writes for John Cass News, name's Michael Ledwith. He's insisting that I see this movie, Get Carter, with Michael Caine.
That's a great movie.
And he sends this line quote to me. You know, I'd almost forgotten what your eyes look like. Still the same. Piss holes in the snow. That's a line. And it has nothing to do with dragons, right? It has everything to do with, like, a world-weary person. You know, some, like, political reporter who's written too many and seen too much. And speaking of which, I have to tell you.
Yeah.
There's a story in the paper, you know, that paper.
I'm familiar with it.
And it's a hit piece on Dan Proft.
Our old friend Dan.
It's our old friend Dan. Full disclosure, he's a friend of mine. He's a friend of yours. You've produced for him and for me on at different stations, which is why you're the best radio producer in the city. And also, so there was this news story is about Dan Proft and doing something underhanded. Really, it was kind of weak. It was extremely weak. But what was interesting was there was a photograph of a young Dan Proft in the newspaper. It says, and he's sitting there, and I know the place. He's sitting there because there's a extra virgin olive oil on the table in a bottle. And it's used to be right behind the Tribune. It's called Volari on Grand and Sinclair.
The FBI knows of it.
The FBI knows of it, yeah. And here's the caption for this hit piece. Dan Proft is interviewed on November 11th, 2009 by a Tribune columnist. Now, who's the...
Who can that be?
There's a guy, I see Dan Proft in a blue suit, and the columnist, salt and pepper, hair distinguished, with a blue sports coat or suit, tie, shirt, just like Proft has on. I mean, ties are similar, but sure. I mean, the conservative ties. But who is a columnist?
I'm pretty sure that columnist had sausage and peppers there. Was that your go-to there?
That was the go-to. Yeah, we it's the order for appetizers, and then right. You know. But you know, I guess was the columnist Eric Zorn?
I think he would have been mentioned.
Well, you know, because you can't Eric and Dan Proft sitting together. I don't see that happening.
Right.
You know, unless Eric's like lying down with a you know, butter knife in his chest, which he wouldn't happen because Dan's a civilized man.
He's a civilized man.
And Eric's a nice fellow as well. Very well-mannered.
Right. You know. Maybe next to each other in the shooting range.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Or was it columnist Mary Schmeek?
Ooh. She and Dan. I could see she and Dan doing a duet. Dan's got a decent voice.
Yeah, like Dan and Mary and Eric singing like holiday songs or writing, yeah. Even better yet, writing to each other. Like, Dan, I really don't know about this blue check Twitter thing. What do you think? You know, and then Proft responds and then Mary gets in. I mean, it could be that columnist, a columnist, or who else?
I don't know. It's a mystery for the ages, John.
But you don't even have the guts.
I know.
You're such a gutless fish wrap of a place now. You don't have the guts to say, you know, the guy who worked here 37 years and gave
you don't have to demean fish wrap, John.
What?
You don't have to demean fish and chips. Why do we have to drag that into this?
I like fish and chips.
Best fish and chips I ever had was at this place called the Shakespeare Room near Piccadilly Circus, upstairs of this little bar. It was like velveteen seats and dark velour curtains and books everywhere.
This is in London?
This is in London. It's like 2003, maybe.
What did the velveteen rabbits smell like? It smelled like fried fish and chips.
Yeah. It's so good. So good, John.
My grandfather, Papu Pete, had a good recipe for fish and chips. And he would sell them wrapped in newspapers. Like he would make cones of newspapers and hand them out, chips and fish, from his snack shop.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love that.
Pete, love you, man. Love fish and chips. I don't like the newspaper not...
I know. I don't understand.
Not having the guts to say who's in the picture besides Dan.
That's hilarious. But,
you know, Dan's a handsome man. Maybe, you know... they didn't want me to overshadow him with my...
There you go.
...handsomeness. But, you know, one other thing that's going on in both newspapers, I guess the Tribune now is out of the editorial business.
Yeah, right. Or the endorsement business.
Yeah, they don't endorse. I guess that's so you don't have what? You don't have heat.
Right.
People don't get upset.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. People get. Yeah. Right. You can't. You're too afraid to put out make a decision one way or another. You don't want to offend anybody or be too. It's just, and that's the that's kind of one of the downfalls of media when it's blended with pure capitalism is that at the end of the day they still have shareholders to pay to pay off and you have people to keep the lights on. So what bleeds reads or leads, John, right?
If it bleeds, it leads.
That right.
Local television thing.
Right.
The Tribune doesn't even run mugshots of murderers now because we might offend them, you know?
Yeah.
Like, don't hurt their feelings. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like they need to man up or woman up or pull up and,
you know, show up. I know plenty of women. I've never liked that there are men who think that women are tough because I'm married to one. And, you know, Tulsi Gabbard, okay, is one, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. My mom was a tough woman.
Yeah, your mom?
Absolutely.
And you say one thing out of line and they call you a Russian spy, Russian agent. She doesn't want people to get killed in the nuclear war.
Or heaven forbid you wind up in the mouth of the View.
Okay, let's get to that because there's nothing like disparaging people who might not want to be victims of crime in the crime wave epidemic.
Right.
But 26% of what was the story from The View?
It's Sonny Houston is getting all worked up about this. And here's a clip of it, but it's essentially taking a shot at white suburban women and recent polling that shows that they're leaning, surprisingly, they say, to Republicans.
Right. Republicans. But what's also surprising to me is the abortion issue. I read a poll just yesterday that white Republican suburban women are now going to vote Republican.
Why?
It's almost like roaches voting for Raid, right?
They're voting against their own self-interest. Do they want to live in Gilead? Okay,
do we love
democracy or not? Because just saying that it's insulting to the voter. People make up decisions on what's right for their family, and the idea
that's Alyssa Farah, who is formerly a CNN political correspondent, but the drawing the line in the sand there, and rightfully so. I mean,
how would you run a business? I would, if I had the opposition show, if there is one, you know, during like this is like all you got to do is give this to Greg Gutfeld. You know,
absolutely. It, but yeah, you know, would listen to the audience. I mean, the applause around that line. It was like just roaring, and they didn't. When she responds, "Well, hey, let's just take it easy. We're going to insult people here just for the hell of it." No one, crickets from the audience on that. So, I mean, that shows you everything you need to know. They're not looking for anything less than this dart throwing, you know, at the big the elephant in the room.
Well, she is a lawyer. I don't think she was a student of Professor Kingsfield in The Paper Chase, you know, who famously said, your mind is full of mush and you leave as a lawyer.
We do brain surgery here. You teach yourselves the law, but I train your mind. You come in here with a skull full of mush and you leave thinking like a lawyer.
But I still think that Sonny Hosen insulted, but that's what the unfortunately, that's the Democratic Party as it is today. It's not the Democratic Party of just a few years ago, not the Democratic Party of Bill Clinton, a centrist. Right. You know, even though I didn't like him for what he did with the girl and all the other women. And it was really upsetting because what was upsetting to me was that he was getting away with it with help from the media. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
He was
a centrist in almost, you know, considered too conservative at the time. You're thinking, oh, people, you know, thought, oh, maybe he's, you know, too much of that. And it's, that he would be, I don't even know where he would fall, not the Bill Clinton of today, but the Bill Clinton of then transposed to today.
He would be a Republican.
Right.
There's no way he could win. He actually put, as governor,
right,
put a man to death for who shot and killed a police officer.
Right. Right. Well, I mean, there was the
executed. Unlike today, where two cops who were assassinated in Chicago many years ago were paroled by J.B. Pritzker's parole board. And J.B.'s got an ad screaming at Proft again, hating his guts. Okay, fine. But all upset because the ad's, I guess, saying the governor doesn't pardon anyone. The parole board pardons. But you're the governor. You put these people on. They did what you wanted. You know, if you call them, they wouldn't call them and they wouldn't do it.
Right, exactly. I mean, it's the same nonsense that he says, wants to say, well, you know, I don't have any oversight in this case, or I don't have any. What's the case that he's dodging with the sexual harassment?
Oh, that's Jennifer Thornley.
Right.
Okay. Jennifer Thornley case. She was alleged to have taken $500,000 taxpayer money. She made allegedly false sexual harassment claims. She worked for the state. She was actually right under Pritzker's wing.
Right.
Kwame Raoul, the attorney general who allowed this monstrosity called Safety Act to get through without
right
once saying, hey guys, this is so confusing. We really got to revote this. We got to just let's straighten it out and get it right. Jennifer Thornley. And when she was in trouble, she called on Governor Pritzker to save her.
Right.
That's the media. I know the Tribune is very interested in Dan Proft, but has the media in Chicago gone after the Jennifer Thornley case?
Doesn't seem so. I mean, you barely hear anything about it. And I mean, and I'm, should I be surprised? This is Pritzker's playbook. You know, blame me for something. No, it's not my fault. It's someone else's fault. It's my wife's fault. Look at her. I mean, that's how he is. It's just he can't take responsibility for anything, and he takes responsibility for everything. It's just.
But he's a billionaire, and they're afraid of him, and they all want his money or something. They want they want his love. They respect him for his money that he never earned himself.
Right.
You know, I heard Charles Thomas say, born on third base, and he hit a triple. And I was thinking, didn't that whoever that columnist was for the Tribune, I think he wrote that, but you can't even see his name in the paper. In a picture with Dan Proft at Villari.
Brandon? Exactly.
I think, well, whatever that guy's name is, yeah.
Well, on that note, John, I think we can put a pin in it for our end of week recap. Obviously, get out there and vote.
Get out there and vote, and I'm going to vote several times. I even want to take a little bike, if I could, and take a bike ride back to the little bike lands of Chicago where I can vote several times, I hope. I don't know if it's true, but I'd like to, you know, go as a little bike person wearing spandex. No one would recognize me. And then I would cast my ballot. But you know what? As soon as the elections end in November, another one begins.
That's for
mayoral
sure.
Election, the race for mayor already. Lori Lightfoot screaming, you know, if you criticize her, you're a Republican. You're a Trump Republican MAGA.
You're a fascist.
You're a fascist. I'm going to go read Michael Beschloss. Popular history
of pulling your hair out.
Yeah, pulling your hair out.
Well, I'm going to go finish for Whom the Belt Tolls. That's my light reading in the car right now.
For Whom the Bell Tolls?
Yeah.
Excuse me. You're reading that? You're listening to a book on tape?
Yep.
About the Spanish Civil War?
Yep.
And the woman who fought, who loved the bullfighter, and then she killed a bunch of guys and was a killer herself.
And hey, then no spoilers.
slept with a bolster between her legs. I never forget that line. I think he was speaking of Pilar or the, you Pilar, know, the old woman, right?
Pilar is the old woman,
The old communist. And the, the tough communist and living in the hills. I carried that book with me through Spain.
Excellent.
And I was in northern Spain reading it at a cafe and on a train. And a person on the train came up and shook his head like, no, no, no. We don't read this here. I'm like, Señor, you have no rights. I'm an American. Back in those days, Americans could actually say what they thought.
Right.
And now you can't even say prosecutors funded by George Soros have cut the heart out of cities like Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, and Los Angeles. But I guess for Jeff Carlin, executive producer, WGN Radio, friends of cats, friends of people who love baking, future physics teacher, someday we'll talk more physics. And for me, John Cass, husband, father, publisher of johncassnews.com, your favorite website for common sense. Remember what you're doing on Election Day. Vote. Vote early, vote often. And remember what Johnny Rocco does on the sidelines. He counts the votes, and you count them again and again and again till they turn out right. Right, Johnny?
I made them. Yeah, I made them just like a tailor makes a suit of clothes. I take a nobody, see? Teach him what to say. Get his name in the papers. Now, paper his campaign expenses. Dish out a lot of groceries and coal. Get my boys to bring the voters out. And then count the votes over and over again till they added up right and he was elected.
Join us again next time for another edition of the Chicago Way podcast on WGN+.